ஓம் ஜனத்து மினந்தஸ்ய ஜனஜன சலகயா சக்ஷு சமிலதஞ்சேன தஸ்மை ஸ்ரீ குருவே நமஹ. ஸ்ரீ சைதன்ய மனபீஷ்டம் ஸ்தபிதம் ஜனவிதலே சாயம் பிரகதமயந்த தட்சி சப்பனந்திகம். We've been hearing in the eighth canto of the Bhagavatam how Bali Maharaj, through the potency that he's imbibed due to the blessings of Bhrigu Muni's descendants and his spiritual master, Sukracharya, he has, without a fight, attained the rulership of the kingdom of heaven. But although the demigods fled by turning themselves invisible, including Indra, there was a problem. And the problem was that Aditi, the mother of all the demigods, through Kasyapa Muni, she was very, very distraught. And she awaited for her husband, Kasyapa Muni, who was a very powerful Brahmin, to return from his meditation. So when he returned, he saw that she was so upset that she hadn't been properly taking care of the ashram. And he was wondering what the cause was, so he inquired from her. And she explained that the cause was that my sons have been, everything has been taken from them. They have been removed from the king of heaven, from the kingdom of heaven. And even though that you're equal to everyone, as Krishna is equal to everyone, still Krishna is more favorable to the devotees. Ye bhajanti tumam bhaktya maya tateshu chapyaham. So she explained that she wanted him, Kasyapa, her husband, to give her the methodology by which she could gain the kingdom of heaven back for her sons. So Kasyapa Muni's first reaction was that how amazing, he was amazed by the illusory energy. Because for him, being on the platform, the spiritual platform, he was able to discern the difference between the soul and the body. And if one understands that every living entity, the life force within every living entity is the soul, then, and the bodies and that soul will enter into one body after the next, then it, from that point of view, the attachment to the relatives or the relations from one body that the soul enters to is very peculiar and it's foolish. So Kasyapa Muni saw the power of the illusory energy that induced everyone towards attachment to the byproducts of the body, although the souls that they're attached to really have nothing to do with the body, because the body will be left behind at the time of death, tatadehantara praptiya. And also there is, practically speaking, for every soul, for every one of us, there is an endless succession of bodies that the soul inhabits. So he first expressed his amazement as to the potency of the illusory energy that convinces a soul that he is his body, and therefore all the offspring and the byproducts of the body have some relationship to him. It's like if you have a Holden car or a Ford car, when you see another Ford car or another Holden car, you feel some affinity towards the car and the other person's car and the driver. And sometimes that happens to some degree when you see a person in a similar model to the car that you have. Hey, there's some camaraderie, so this is foolish. Obviously, it's stupid. But yet, this is the power of the illusory energy. The identification develops. But it also shows, from a different point of view, how there's a natural tendency for the soul to wish to identify with some group, with something. And when he is divorced from a group, the soul will feel very alienated, and he will naturally look for some group to identify with. It's unavoidable. And someone who is really a loner and doesn't have anyone to identify with, if he's in that type of abstract consciousness, he generally will have mental problems. So the point being that what group should we actually identify with? If we identify with our car, then we'll identify with the other owners of the car. And indeed, there are car clubs where everyone who has a Rolls Royce is in a member of a club, or everyone has this or that kind of car. So depending upon what's dearest to you and what one identifies with, one will, as himself, he'll identify with a group. So if we identify with being Krishna's eternal servant, as eternal souls, then naturally, who will we identify with? If we deeply identify with being Krishna's servants eternally, then actually we'll identify with every living entity. Because we'll see that every living entity is also part and parcel of Krishna. So therefore Bhagavad Gita says, Pandita Samadarshana. The learned person sees in this way, and he sees equality in all living entities. How wonderful. So in any case, Aditi in this pastime didn't have that vision. Rather, she identified with her sons and wished to see them again gain control of the kingdom of heaven. So Kasyapa Muni, he told her, did we read text 21? I think so. He told her that you should perform devotional service. If you want to gain what you wish to gain, you should take shelter of Krishna through devotional service, and by his grace you will gain that which you want, which is to reinstate your own children in charge of heaven. So Aditi, in text 22 of chapter 16, replied, O Brahmana, tell me the regulative principles by which I may worship the Supreme Master of the world so that the Lord will be pleased with me and fulfill all my desires. So this is a type of worship of the Lord. But yet, he directed, Kasyapa Muni directed her to worship the Lord despite the fact that she couldn't worship him in love. She couldn't worship him without a material, selfish motivation, but yet she was to worship him. Because one should always worship Krishna, regardless of one's situation, because it will purify one. Even Diti, her sister, who was trying to kill Aditi's son, Indra, we heard about this in the sixth canto, by worshipping the Lord, she became purified, and only good came. Regardless of her bad motives, only good came from that worship of the Lord. So, regardless, akama sava kama va moksha kama ujaradi tivrena bhakti yogeni ajaita purushapara. Regardless of what one's position is, one should worship Krishna. So Aditi said, O Brahmana, she wanted to know how to perform this worship because she wanted her desires fulfilled. So she said, O Brahmana, tell me the regulative principles by which I may worship the Supreme Master of the world so that the Lord will be pleased with me and fulfill all my desires. So really what we're supposed to do is not worship the Lord so he will fulfill our desires. We shall worship the Lord for the purity and the motivation to fulfill his desires. We shouldn't try to dovetail Krishna's desires, try to pull Krishna's desires to make them harmonious with our desires, so that because whatever Krishna desires will happen. He has a potency called Ichha Shakti, which means whatever he desires occurs. So the tendency is to want him to use that potency, take that potency and bring it in line with my desires. But what really should happen is we should take our desires and bring them in line with his desires. So Aditi wasn't doing that at this point. In any case, here's Prabhupada's purport. It is said, man proposes, God disposes. Thus a person may desire many things, but unless these desires are fulfilled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they cannot be fulfilled. Fulfillment of desires is called satya sankalpa. Hear the word satyasankalpa from the verse. Yes. Yata me satyasankalpo. You should worship the Lord so that your desires should actually be... Well, tell me how to worship the Lord so my desires can be fulfilled. Satyasankalpa is very important. Aditi placed herself at the mercy of her husband so that he would give her directions by which to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead so that all her desires will be fulfilled. A disciple must first decide that he should worship the Supreme Lord, and then the spiritual master will give the disciple correct directions. One cannot dictate to the spiritual master, just as a patient cannot demand that his physician prescribe a certain type of medicine. Here is the beginning of worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Chator vidha bhajante mam jana sukritino arjana artigigyasa ardati janicha bharatarsava. O best among the Bharatas, four kinds of pious men render devotional service unto me: the distressed, the desire of wealth, the inquisitive, and he who is searching for knowledge of the Absolute. Aditi was arta, arta gigyasa aditi, a person in distress. She was very much aggrieved because her sons, the demigods, were bereft of everything. Thus she wanted to take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead under the direction of her husband Kasyapa Muni. So she continued, O best of the Brahmanas, kindly instruct me in the perfect method of worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead in devotional service, by which the Lord may very soon be pleased with me and save me along with my sons from the most dangerous condition. Purport. Sometimes, less intelligent men ask whether one has to approach a guru to be instructed in devotional service for spiritual advancement. The answer is given here. Indeed, not only here, but also in Bhagavad Gita, where Arjuna accepted Krishna as his guru. Shashtaham sarimam tvam prapanam. The Vedas also instruct, tad vigyanartam sagarun eva bigachet. One must accept a guru for proper direction if one is seriously inclined towards advancement in spiritual life. The Lord says that one must worship the Acharya, who is the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Acharyamam vijnaniyat. One should definitely understand this. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that the Guru is the manifestation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, according to all the evidence given by the Shastras and by the practical behavior of devotees, one must accept the Guru. Aditi accepted her husband as a guru so that he would direct her how to advance in spiritual consciousness, devotional service, by worshipping the Supreme Lord. So she wanted to know the methodology. And the first principle of the methodology is you approach a guru. And he, when he sees the disciple wishes to serve God, he gives the appropriate directions for them to do so, according to the position of the disciple. But he doesn't give directions that will take the disciple in the opposite direction. Always. It may be gradual. He may instruct some devotees to take a gradual process. He may take other devotees to immediately surrender. But in any case, everything, that all the instructions, they lead the disciple towards the lotus feet of the Lord. This is the purpose of having a spiritual master. So Kasyapa Muni is going to reply and explain the particular type of worship that he is going to instruct his wife Aditi to perform, and it's called the Payavrata process of worship. And really, although there will be many different aspects of the methodologies or the technical aspects of the things given, there is an essence of this process. And this, the essence of this process, as opposed to the particular details of the rituals, is what we should really learn. But that won't be revealed till the end. Text 24, Kasyapa Muni starts explaining the process. First he's going to talk about the history of the process, how he learned it himself. When I desired offspring, I placed inquiries before Lord Brahma, who was born from a lotus flower. So Lord Brahma is the grandfather of Kasyapa Muni. Now I shall explain to you the same process Lord Brahma instructed me, by which Keshava, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is satisfied. Here, the process of devotional service is further explained. And this is really the essence. The process, the practices, the sadhana, the activities, the methodologies that are used are all meant to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the essence. That is called Bhagavad Dharma. When one has reasons, when one has motives for satisfying them that are self-centered, I'm doing this to get something from you, I'm trying to satisfy you, please you, flatter you in one sense, so that then you'll be pleased with me and say, what do you want? And then you'll give me what I want, I'm still the center. So that is not pure devotional service, but yet it is devotional service. And it will purify one. But when one is in pure devotional service, what one's desire to please the Lord in exchange for pleasing the Lord is nothing. Not to get nothing, but to get only the ability to please Him still more, to increase one's loving service. So this is really wonderful. And then Krishna is really pleased by that type of a mood. When one's devotion is unmotivated, uninterrupted, not wanting jnana kam anavrita anakulena Krishna anashilanam, this is first class devotion. Here's Prabhupada's purport to text 24. Here the process of devotional service is further explained. Kasyapa Muni wanted to instruct Aditi in the same process recommended to him by Brahma for satisfying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is valuable. The guru does not manufacture a new process to instruct the disciple. The disciple receives from the guru an authorized process received by the guru from his guru. This is called the system of disciplic succession. Evam brahmpra praptam imam rajasyo vidu. This is the bona fide Vedic system of receiving the process of devotional service, by which the Supreme Personality of Godhead is pleased. Therefore, to approach a bona fide guru or spiritual master is essential. Otherwise, how will one know how to please God who has everything? Unless one is inquiring on how to do so with someone who is more intimate than oneself. How will one know otherwise? One sincerely may completely do the wrong thing, or seemingly sincere. So here's the part that brings the sincerity into the forefront of the process. That if one really wants to please, one has to understand that one himself doesn't know how to please God. And then one accepts a guru who teaches using the methodology that he has learned from his guru, his guru uses the methodology he has learned from his guru all the way back to Krishna. And this is the system of Guru Parampara. And by this system, by acceptance of this system, Krishna is pleased. So therefore, Prabhupada says it's essential. This is the first point in the methodology, again, accepting the guru. The bona fide spiritual master is he who has received the mercy of his guru, who in turn is bona fide because he has received the mercy of his guru. This is called the parampara system. Unless one follows this parampara system, the mantra one receives will be chanted for no purpose. Nowadays, there are so many rascal gurus who manufacture their mantras as a process for material advancement, not spiritual advancement. Still, the mantra cannot be successful if it is manufactured. What does Prabhupada mean when he says manufactured? He doesn't mean necessarily made in China, which everything nowadays is manufactured in China, but it's just concocted. If someone thinks, oh, this would be a good mantra, or have a better idea, a new revelation. But no, the truth comes in this disciplic succession. So it won't be successful otherwise, because success comes from Krishna's mercy more than our own endeavor. So this is the system by which Krishna is pleased by. It's interesting also, I've heard Prabhupada say that he says, to approach a bona fide guru, a spiritual master, is essential. The bona fide spiritual master is he who has received the mercy of his guru. So what is the mercy of his guru? So the Prabhupada has said that it is the instructions of the guru that's mercy. Mantras in the process of devotional service have special power provided they are received from the authorized person. So here he's going to, after explaining the point on guru, that one must accept this from a guru, now he's going to start explaining what the process actually is. In the bright fortnight of the month of Phalgun, February and March, for 12 days ending with the Dwadasi, one should observe the vow of subsisting only on milk and should worship the lotus-eyed Supreme Personality of Godhead with all devotion. So here's two points, three points. When it begins, when it ends, what one will eat and is subsisting on during the 12 days, and what the essence of it is to worship the Lord with devotion. And how will that be done? That will be explained later. Here's Prabhupada's purport. Worshipping the Supreme Lord Vishnu with devotion means following Archana Marg. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, Smaranam Parasevanam, Archanam Vandanam Dasyam, Sakyam Atmanavedanam. One should install the deity of Lord Vishnu or Krishna and worship him nicely by dressing him, decorating him with flower garlands, and offering him all kinds of fruits, flowers, and cooked food nicely prepared with ghee, sugar, and grains. One should also a flame, incense, and so on, while ringing a bell is prescribed. This is called worship of the Lord, archana. Here it is recommended that one observe the vow of subsisting only by drinking milk. This is called payo vrata. Payo means milk and vrata means vow. As we generally perform devotional service on Ekadasi by not eating grains, it is generally recommended that on Dwadasi one not consume anything but milk. Payovrata and archana, devotional service to the Supreme Lord, should be performed with a pure devotional attitude, bhaktya. Without bhakti, one cannot worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhakti mam abhijananti yavanyas chasmi tatvata. That means worshipping with devotion. This is all. Because after all, what can we give Krishna? Devotional service, so this service. But Krishna has everything. Everything belongs to him. How can we serve him, actually? What can we offer him that he doesn't have? And really, the only thing we have is our devotion. That we've been withholding from Krishna. So the other items in devotional service are the gestures, so to speak, by which the devotion is expressed. There are ways to express the devotion. But it is the devotion that is ultimately attractive to Krishna. So therefore, Krishna says in the ninth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, patram pushpam palam tayam, a leaf, fruit, flower, water, yomam bhakti prasati. If one offers me these things with devotion, asnami paratama, I will accept them. But it has to be with devotion. If something is offered to Krishna with devotion, some food is offered with devotion, devotion means love. If there's love, and therefore that is the motivating force, that is that which motivates one to make the offering, then Krishna, asnami, accepts it. His appetite increases. So there are processes, but the essence, as Prabhupada says, is devotion, performed with a pure devotional attitude. Without bhakti, one cannot worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If one wants to know the Supreme Personality of Godhead and be directly connected with him, knowing what he wants to eat and how he is satisfied, one must take to the process of bhakti, as recommended here also. Bhaktya param maya anvita. One should be surcharged with unalloyed devotional service. Surcharged. How wonderful. More in the process. If dirt dug up by a boar is available, that's B-O-A-R, not B-O-R-E, or boar constrictor, no, constrictor, no. It's a boar, a hoggish animal. If dirt dug up by a boar is available, on the day of the dark moon, one should smear this dirt on his body and then bathe in a flowing river. While bathing, one should chant the following mantra. So we can already guess that Prabhupada's going to tell us chanting Hare Krishna is easier by the end. One should chant this mantra. O Mother Earth, you are raised by the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of a boar because of your desiring to have a place to stay. I pray that you kindly vanquish all the reactions of my sinful life. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, prayer to Mother Earth. Thereafter, so once you get grounded with this prayer to the earth, thereafter one should perform his daily spiritual duties and then with great attention offer worship to the deity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and also to the altar, the sun, water, fire, and the spiritual master. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, O greatest of all, who lives in everyone's heart and in whom everyone lives, O witness of everything, O Vasudev, supreme and all-pervading person, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. So more prayers and mantras. So now offering obeisances to the all-pervading Lord who is the super soul in everyone's heart. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, the supreme person. Being very subtle, you are never visible to material eyes, because the materialist cannot see because he doesn't have devotion. Premanjana charita bhakti valochane. When one has prema or loving devotion, then one sees Krishna at every moment. It is like a magic wand that allows one to see Krishna. You are the knower, O Lord. You are the knower of the 24 elements, and you are the inaugurator of the Sankhya Yoga system. That's Kapila Dev. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who have two heads, Praniya and Upayayana. Udayayana. Udayaniya. Three legs, Savantrai, four horns, the four Vedas, and seven hands, the seven chandas, such as Gachi, 7 meters. I offer my obeisances unto you, whose heart and soul are the three Vedic rituals, Karma Kanda, Jnana Kanda, and Upasana Kanda, and who expand these rituals in the form of sacrifice. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, Lord Shiva or Rudra, who are the reservoir of all potencies, the reservoir of all knowledge, and the master of everyone. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, who are situated as Hiranyagarbha, the source of life, the supersoul of every living entity. Your body is the source of all the opulences of all mystic power. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. So obeisances, obeisances. Little me is giving respect to all these powerful aspects of the Lord. Because, after all, he has to be satisfied. If we walk in there and with pride and say, you have to give me what I want. Because why? Because I'm me. I'm so great. I'm so wonderful. Well, then naturally the reaction will be, then we'll get it yourself then. If you're so wonderful, why are you asking me? So one has to, when one wants to satisfy and get a benediction, one comes with folded hands, a straw between his teeth, signifying humility, scrunched shoulders, and asking, please, I'm so little and insignificant and weak. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, who are the original personality of Godhead, the witness in everyone's heart, and the incarnation of Nara Narayan Rishi in the form of human being. O personality of Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. O Lord, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, who are dressed in yellow garments, whose body you resembles the muddy cut gem. That's, the translation is, it sounds like whose the Marikatte Samavapush, whose bodily hue is blackish like the Marikat gem. So that's probably a blue sapphire. Yes, Marikat, does anyone know? Is what?
So
I think it's a sapphire. It's a precious gem, but I think maybe a blue sapphire. They're very wonderful, very dark, deep blue, like the color of Krishna's complexion. Very, very deep blue, very wonderful. Whose bodily hue resembles the Marikatta gem, and who have full control over the goddess of fortune. O my Lord Keshava, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. O most exalted and worshipable Lord, best of those who bestow benediction, you can fulfill the desires of everyone, and therefore those who are sober for their own welfare worship the dust of your lotus feet. All the demigods, as well as the goddess of fortune, engage in the service of his lotus feet. Indeed, they respect the fragrance of those lotus feet. May the Supreme Personality of Godhead be pleased with me. So that's the prayers that were to be offered. Kasyapa Muni continued, by chanting all these mantras, welcoming the Supreme Personality of Godhead with faith and devotion, and offering him items of worship such as padyanagya, different mixtures of spices to the feet and to the mouth. One should worship, doing all these things, one should worship Keshava, Rishikesh, and Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the beginning, the devotees should chant the Dvadasa Chara Mantra and offer flower garlands, incense, and so on. After worshipping the Lord in that way, one should bathe the Lord with milk and dress him with proper garments, a sacred thread and ornaments, or Krishna deity. After offering water to wash the Lord's feet, one should again worship the Lord with fragrant flowers, incense, and other paraphernalia. So these are the Dvadasakara mantra is Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Prabhupada explains in his purport, the mantra with 12 syllables. Maybe we could suggest that the children move onward. If one can afford to, one should offer the deity fine rice boiled in milk with clarified butter and molasses. While chanting the same original mantra, one should offer all these to the fire. One should offer all the prasad to a Vaishnava, or offer him some of the prasad and then take some oneself. After this, one should offer the deity Achman, and then betel nut, and then again worship the Lord. Thereafter, one should silently murmur the mantra 108 times and offer prayers to the Lord for his glorification. Then one should circumambulate the Lord, and finally, with great delight and satisfaction, offer obeisances, falling straight like a rod, dandavat. After touching to one's head all the flowers and water offered to the deity, one should throw them into a sacred place. That's how one should dispose of them in that way, into a river or the ocean, like that. Then one should feed at least 2 brahmanas with sweet rice. One should perfectly honor the respectable brahmanas one has fed, and then after taking their permission, one should take prasad with his friends and relatives. But one should, during these 12 days, only take milk prasad. For that night, one should observe strict celibacy, and the next morning, after bathing again with period and attention, one should bathe the deity of Vishnu with milk and worship him according to the methods formally stated in detail. So day after day for 12 days, act in this way. Worshipping Lord Vishnu with great faith and devotion, and living only by drinking milk, one should follow this vow. One should also offer oblations to the fire and feed the Brahmins, as mentioned before. In this way, until 12 days have passed, one should observe this Payovrata, worshipping the Lord every day, executing the routine duties, performing sacrifices, and feeding the Brahmins. From the Pratipat until the 13th day of the next bright moon, the Shukla Trayodasi, so this is only once a year this Payovrata can be done. One should observe, so the Patiprat is the first day after the full moon. One should observe complete celibacy, sleep on the floor, bathe 3 times a day, and thus execute the vow. During this period, one should not unnecessarily talk of material subjects or topics of sense gratification. One should be completely free from envy of all living entities. wants to be a pure and simple devotee of Lord Vasudeva. Thereafter, following the directions of the Shastra with the help from Brahmanas who know the Shastra, on the 13th day of the moon, one should bathe Lord Vishnu with 5 substances, milk, yogurt, ghee, sugar, and honey. So something somewhat different on the final day. Giving up the miserly habit of not spending money, one should arrange for the gorgeous worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, who is situated in the heart of every living entity. With great attention, one must prepare an oblation of grains boiled in ghee and milk. I must chant the Purusha Shukta mantra. The offerings of food should be of varieties of tastes. In this way, one should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One should satisfy the spiritual master, the Acharya, who is very learned in Vedic literature, and one should satisfy his assistant priest, known as Hotra, Udgata, Advayu, and Brahma. So all the priests have different priests in a sacrifice, have different functions to perform. One should please them by offering them clothing, ornaments, and cows. This is a ceremony called Vishnu Aradhana, or worship of Lord Vishnu. So how is Lord Vishnu worshipped? By worshipping the servants of Vishnu. By satisfying them, then the Lord is satisfied. Kasyapa Muni continued, O most auspicious lady, one should perform all the ceremonies under the direction of learned acharyas and should satisfy them and their priests. By distributing prasad, one should also satisfy the brahmanas and others who have assembled. One should satisfy the spiritual master and assistant priest by giving them cloth, ornaments, cows, and also some monetary contribution. And by distributing prasad, one should satisfy everyone assembled, including even the lowest of men, the chandals, the eaters of dog flesh. Everyone should be taken care of. Prabhupada's short purport. In the Vedic system, prasad is distributed, as recommended here, without discrimination as to who may take the prasad. Regardless of whether one be a Brahmin, Sudra, Vaishya, Kshatriya, or even the lowest of men, a chandal, he should be welcome to accept prasad. However, when the chandalas, the lower class or poor class, are taking prasad, this does not mean they have become Narayan or Vishnu. Narayan is situated in everyone's heart, but this does not mean Narayan is a chandal or poor man. The Mayavad philosophy of accepting a poor man as Narayan is the most envious and atheistic movement in Vedic culture. Very, very strong words. The idea was at a particular time, I don't know if people are talk like this nowadays, but the concept was that if you want to please God, you should please all the poor people, Harijans, the poor people. These people are the people of God, or they are God. It's Mayavadi philosophy. They're God in the form of a poor person. He's God in the form of a dog. He's God in the form of a horse. Because everyone is ultimately God, so it's Mayavad philosophy. So please God, why do you go to the temples? You please God in this form, in this way, by pleasing all the living entities, satisfying them. So in this way, this trying to encourage the people to do manasa seva, serving humanity. Manasa seva, madhava seva. If you serve humanity, you are serving Madhava or Krishna. So this philosophy is not acceptable. It's like watering the leaves of the tree to water individually, to satisfy the tree as a whole. No, it's the opposite. If one waters the root, then all the leaves and branches are satisfied. If one serves Krishna according to his desire, then automatically everyone is fed, even the poor people. But not to say that they are Narayan, they are God. God in the form of a poor person. Why? When we hear about Krishna, he's certainly not a poor person. As we heard in one of the prayers, said that he has the goddess of fortune under his control. That means all fortune is his. And the goddess of fortune is called Chanchala. She's always moving from one person to the next. Sometimes fortune favors one person, and then fortune will favor another person, and fortune will leave this person, and only misfortune will be there. Fortune, the goddess of fortune, never stays with any ordinary person. She only stays very faithfully serving the lotus feet of Lord Narayan. So Narayana is never poor. So Prabhupada says this is the most envious and atheistic movement in Vedic culture, this Daridra Narayana. This mentality should be completely given up. Everyone should be given the opportunity to take prasad, but this does not mean that everyone has the right to become Narayan. Everyone should be cared for, but that doesn't, they don't have to say that they're Narayan to God to care for them, give them food and clothing and some charity. So continuing with the instructions on performing this ritual for Krishna's pleasure. One should distribute Vishnu prasad to everyone. And not just ordinary food should be given to everyone, because then you are giving everyone sinful reactions. But prasadam should be distributed. And very, very widely too. Prabhupada said that there should be no one starving within so many miles of a temple. How many miles? Should be no one? Huh? 12. Okay. So many miles, everyone should be fed prasadam. Anyone who is hungry, take prasadam. Knowing that Lord Vishnu is pleased when everyone is sumptuously fed with Vishnu prasad, the performer of jagya should then take prasad with his friends and relatives. Every day, from Pratipat to Trayodasi, one should continue the ceremony. Again, Pratipat is from the first day after the new moon and the full moon to the 13th day. One should continue the ceremony to the accompaniment of dancing, singing, and beating of a drum. So very, very joyous ceremony. The chanting of prayers and all auspicious mantras. And the recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam. In this way, one should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Every day, festival. But the festival is meant for Krishna's pleasure. And the person who is performing the festival, the Payovrata, he's just drinking, taking milk and serving the prasadam and taking that milk after everyone else has been satisfied with their sumptuous prasadam. This is the religious ritualistic ceremony known as Payovrata, by which one may worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I received this information from Brahma, my grandfather, and now I have described it to you in all detail. O most fortunate lady, establishing your mind in a good spirit, execute this process of Payovrata and thus worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Keshava, who is inexhaustible. Worship him the way he wants, for his pleasure, in a proper mood. Not, oh boy, milk again? We've had milk every day for the last 7 days. No, this is some tapasya for his pleasure, performed in a good spirit. This Payovrata, this is text 60, the next to last, third, 62 verses, third from last verse in this chapter. This Payovrata is also known as Sarva Jagya. In other words, by performing this sacrifice, one can perform all other sacrifices automatically. This is also acknowledged to be the best of all ritualistic ceremonies. O gentle lady, it is the essence of all austerities, and it is the process of giving charity and pleasing the Supreme Controller. Prabhupada's purport. Aradhananam savesham Vishnu aradhanam param. This is the statement made by Lord Shiva to Parvati. When Parvati asked Lord Shiva, what is the best kind of worship? She said, Vishnu. He said, Vishnu worship is the best. But better than Vishnu worship is worshipping the devotee of Vishnu. Aradhananam savesham Vishnu aradhanam param. Tasmat tadiyanam prataram devi tadiyanam samacharam. This is a statement made by Lord Shiva to Parvati. Worshipping Lord Vishnu is the same process of worship. And how Lord Vishnu is worshipped in this Payovrata ceremony has now been fully described. The ultimate goal of life is to please Lord Vishnu by Varnashrama Dharma. The Vedic principles of the four Varnas and four Ashramas are meant for worship of Vishnu. Vishnu Aradhyate Pumsan Nanyatatoshakaranam. The Krishna consciousness movement is also Vishnu Aradhanam, or worship of Lord Vishnu, according to the age. The Payavrata method of Vishnu Aradhanam was enunciated long, long ago by Kasyapa Muni to his wife Aditi in the heavenly planets. And the same process is bona fide on earth even now. Especially for this age of Kali, the process accepted by the Krishna consciousness movement, this is the process of worshipping the Lord, is to open hundreds and thousands of Vishnu temples, temples of Radha Krishna, Jagannath Balaram, Sitaram, Gornatai, and so on. Performing prescribed worship in such temples of Vishnu and thus worshipping the Lord is as good as performing the Payovrata ceremony recommended here. The Payovrata ceremony is performed from the 1st to the 13th day of the bright fortnight of the moon, but in our Krishna consciousness movement, Lord Vishnu is worshipped in every temple according to a schedule of 24 hours of engagement in performing kirtan, chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, offering palatable food to Lord Vishnu, and distributing this food to Vaishnavas and others. These are authorized activities. And if the members of the Krishna consciousness movement stick to these principles, they will achieve the same results one gains by observing the Payovrata ceremony. Thus, the essence of all auspicious activities, such as performing jagya, giving in charity, observing vratas, and undergoing austerities, is included in the Krishna consciousness movement. Because there's equal, things equal to the same thing are equal to each other. So the verse says, this Payovrata, this is also acknowledged to be if you do this, all other sacrifices are done. It's called Savak Jagya. It's also acknowledged to be the best of all ritualistic ceremonies, the essence of austerities, and the process of giving charity and pleasing the Supreme Control, the essence of those processes too. So if the practices of the Krishna consciousness movement are the same as the Payovrata, which Prabhupada is explaining, then all those qualities of the Payovrata of being the best and the essence also there in the processes performed by the Krishna consciousness movement. So all these things are included in the Krishna consciousness movement. The members of this movement should immediately and sincerely follow the processes already recommended. Of course, sacrifice is meant to please Lord Vishnu. Yagyai se kirtana prayer yajantihi sumedasa. In Kali Yuga, those who are intelligent perform the Sankirtan Jagya. One should follow this process conscientiously. So immediately should follow the processes already recommended. The ones that are recommended here, which are the ones that are being done. Prasadam distribution, deity worship, chanting Hare Krishna, engagements in the service of the Sankirtan movement like that. So that's Krishna's desire. So we may have our desire, and we may want to have Krishna come around to fulfilling our desire and make our desire his desire. But this is Krishna's desire, and pure devotional service means that one has no other desire except to please Krishna for the reason, the simple motive of wishing to please him. So this is what will please Krishna, Prabhupada is explaining. And directly, clearly, he states it, the next verse states it. Ta'eva niyamatashaksha ta'eva chan yamottama tapodanam vatam yagyo yena tushyatyat hukshaja. This is the best process for pleasing the transcendental Supreme Personality of Godhead known as Hokshaja. Hokshaja means the Lord who is not perceived materially, is beyond our material senses. So this is the best process of pleasing him. It is the best of all regulative principles, the best austerity, the best process of giving charity, and the best process of sacrifice. So he's really encouraging Aditi by telling her this is the best thing that you should be doing. Prabhupada's purport. The Supreme Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 1866, Savadamam prityaja mamekam saranam raja aham tam sava papebhyo mukshishami ma suchaha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. Unless one pleases the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Prabhupada explains, according to his demands, no good result will come from any of his or one's actions.
dharmas vanustita pumsan vishvaksena katasuya notpadeya jiradhim shrama eva hikevalam.
The occupational activities a man performs according to his own position are only so much useless labor if they do not provoke attraction for the message of the Supreme, of the Personality of Godhead. If one is not interested in satisfying Lord Vishnu, Vasudev, all his so-called auspicious activities are fruitless, because the goal is to please Krishna, and then by Krishna's grace one advances towards his eternal life in the spiritual world, the Loka Vrindavan.
Mogasya moga kamano moga jnana vachestasa.
Because he's bewildered, he is baffled in his hopes. So if one doesn't try by his activities to please the Lord, he won't get the results. And then Prabhupada quotes this, because he's bewildered, he doesn't know what the goal is, therefore he's baffled in his hopes, baffled in his activities, and baffled in his knowledge. In this regard, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur remarks, napumsakam anapumsakain ityadi naikatvam. One cannot equate the potent and the impotent. Among modern Mayavadis, it has become fashionable to say that whatever one does or whatever path one follows is all right. But these are all foolish statements. Here it is forcibly affirmed that this is the only method for success in life. Ishvara tarpanam vina savam eva vifalam. Unless Lord Vishnu is satisfied, all of one's pious activities, ritualistic ceremonies, and yajñas are simply for show and have no value. Unfortunately, foolish people do not know the secret of success. They do not know that real self-interest ends in pleasing Lord Vishnu. And the final verse. Therefore, my dear gentle lady, follow this ritualistic vow, strictly observing the regulative principles. By this process, the Supreme Person will very soon be pleased with you and will satisfy all your desires. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 8th canto, 16th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Executing the Payovrata Process of Worship. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jay, Srila Prabhupada ki jay. So tomorrow, if Krishna allows, we will read chapter 17, in which Lord Vamandev appears as a result of her performing this Payovrata. The Supreme Personality of Godhead will come and satisfy her, fulfill her desires by agreeing to become her son. So we'll read about that tomorrow. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.